Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode... we're back of Red Wings Rant. We're tirades and passion, please. For your Detroit Red Wings, have a home. Mike, we're back from vacation. We never actually said the word because I was worried like somebody was going to watch us on YouTube. They're going to find out where we lived and they were going to rob me. So I just kept saying we're going on break. But Mike, we went to Disney World.
Yes, we did. We got the shirt. Woo!
It was a blast. I left and said to my wife, I think with our two kids, we love Disney World, but I said, we're broken and we're never going back. And last night we looked at each other and we were going through pictures and we're like, oh man, I can't wait to go back. We're already ready to go.
Couple of addicts over there. Yeah.
You had a lot of fun. I was going through the pictures. I would say our cleaning poopy diapers to your rides ratio is about even.
Yeah, if I could give a suggestion, if you go to Disney World, don't bring your kids.
Yeah, that's
way more fun. I went on rides. I got liquored up. Jared, how you doing? Jared said, yo, I was just about to tweet you guys. You don't have to tweet us. You could just say hello. Performance art. Ciao a tutti. Yeah, right back to you, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, this is what Jared is talking about. I started the stream, right? I created it, and then I got stuck doing a bunch of background stuff because you know those darn kids, Mike. They also didn't want to go to bed tonight, but they eventually did, and now little... it's time to talk some hockey.
Hey,
Tristan, what's up? Tristan, fresh off of our episode that was dedicated to you this past Monday. Reminder to everybody: head on over to our Mitchell Stevens episode. Get in your suggestions for our next, player highlight episode. I mean, we want to go outside of the norm. I feel like Mitchell Stevens is one that was a fun story to tell, Mike. I don't know if you got a chance to go through that episode, it was fun to kind of see how Adam Ernie leaving the Lightning affected Mitchell Stevens and He actually came through Saginaw at one point. So it was, it's a fun story. Mitchell Stevens ending up in the Detroit Red Wings organization is, it's a good story. It just, you know, you kind of hope it has a good ending. So far, looks like he's out till March, April. So, and his career's been riddled with injuries. So you kind of, you get a taste of that. You get, you know, his lengthy injury history, missing, this is now another huge injury for Mitchell Stevens. But going back to the reason I brought that all up, go check out that episode. But yeah, throw in the comments who you want us to do next. I already kind of have picked out, based on the responses we got, who I want to do. I'm not going to say it because then everybody's going to be like, what? I'm not going to, you know, or you'll just start suggesting it. And then you're going to ask me why you didn't win the $25 gift card. But anyways, I've kind of got it picked out because it is intriguing, the name that somebody put in the comments. I think it's the most intriguing story. So yeah. Right now that's where I'm at. So that's where you guys want to throw your suggestions. Like, don't just be like, you know, a guy we drafted who's been on the team, you know, for a few seasons. And it's like, well, here's his journey. We drafted him and now he's here. That's not fun. Give me something juicy. Give me a journeyman. Give me a guy who's walked many steps in the old life there. But yeah, there's some hints and nods. If you go to the comments, you can probably figure out who I'm eyeing right now. And some of you may have put in suggestions and you're already going, damn it, he's making fun of my pick. So you know who you are. All right. Well, let's talk hockey, Mike.
Man, we missed a hell of a week.
Yeah, we did.
It's like the day we came back, it was the first Red Wing loss. So apologies. Yeah,
we brought back a new losing streak and Danny DeKeyser with us.
Kind of feels like a given. When you get one, you get the other.
Yeah. And we had big news too that Tristan threw out there. I was talking to my wife before and I told her the whole story and I was like, should we even put this in the episode?
Absolutely. Get him.
Tristan thrown out there the Nashville tweet last night of Nolan Bianchi, I think, from the used to be on the Lockdown Red Wings podcast. He's since left. And the last tweet I remember seeing before he left the show is that he got his dream job. So congratulations, Nolan. Nolan came in hot last night, tweeting at the Nashville Predators. Doesn't it stink that your city's name rhymes with Trashville? Now, Mike. Not exactly a massage.
Not the most clever joke. Yeah.
Not a nice soft massage or a hard massage on the old shoulders there. That was a stick to the back of the neck. Clearly, I mean, he had a motive there. I'm not here to call Nolan a hero by any means. I don't really like that side of Twitter, where you try and find someone whose job is to run an account and egg them on and try and put them in a tough situation. But Nashville put themselves in an even worse situation. Where their social media person replied to that and said, is somebody from Detroit? Oh, Jesus, I'm going to mess this up. I should probably look it up, right? But they deleted the tweet. I tried to find it. Is this really coming from someone who lives in Detroit? Was their response. And there's a lot of layers to this, right? I mean, if we were real, there's a situation in Detroit that was, it's created whether you want to accept it or not because of systemic racism. And there's so many different ways to take this conversation, and we're two white guys, and all we can ask you to do is educate yourself, as we have tried to do with some of our heroes in the last year that we've always called out on our other podcast as well. If you go find Big E Langston, he has quite a few different educational pathways you could take to learn about systemic racism and how it's affected our country. And Detroit is one of the main cities that's been affected by that. And here's my thought on this. I do not think the Nashville Predators social media manager.
I don't think they have room to talk. Can we just say, you know, Nashville, that's, you know, we've got you know, supremacist marches going through downtown.
Right.
At Detroit. I mean, if you're still trashing Detroit, you haven't been there recently. We got restaurants with, you know, $15 cocktails and, you know, $35 desserts. We've got multiple casinos. We've got entertainment up the yang yang. We got concert venues. We got gentrification left and right. My God, what a time to be alive in Detroit. You can safely walk the streets, safely walk the rivers. We've got everything lit up. We've got it powered now. We've got electricity. That wasn't always the case. I know the Illiches are still coming through on a few of their promises to, you know, finish building the upscale version with some more livable areas. But if you haven't been downtown Detroit in a while, I mean, go. There's plenty to do, plenty to see, and plenty of people to come say hello. I mean, they have, like, jazz festivals, electric dance music festivals. And I mean, it's teeming with people. You know, all getting along and not doing anything wild. So I don't know. I think when we in Detroit kind of hear comments like that, like we're a little sensitive because, you know, we do have a history, that can't be ignored, but I mean, it's not, I think we get so touchy about it because it's not the case anymore. And it feels like we're making moves, $1 million moves. Yeah. To fix it. And it definitely feels like a lot of progress has been made.
And it's one of those things too. Like you could look at the fandom of, you know, being a Detroit Red Wings fan and we watch, this is really, if I was honest, this is probably a terrible way to start this conversation is to go like, Detroit and its resurgence is comparable to being a fan of a sports team, but it really is. It's actually true because think about how we all react when ESPN does a broadcast like they did for us last night. And all they want to do the entire night is talk about how great Nashville is. And they forget that there's even anybody on Detroit Red Wings besides Lucas Raymond. So what I'm saying is we put a lot of time and energy into loving the Red Wings. And I mean, we just did multiple episodes, Mike, about just prospects, about, you know, where this team's going to be in the future, because we've fallen in love with them. And when somebody just does not share that love, it's hard to just let it go. But Mike, you go ahead.
Oh, I mean, you can have Jack White now. We had him when he was good. So suck it. We have, like, young White Stripes Jack White. We have Raccoon Tours Jack White. You can have him now. I don't know what he's doing. Folk music or something.
Performance art throughout there. Anthony Bourdain called Detroit the most beautiful city in the United States. AJM Patriot. Corrupt government officials. Very true.
Perfect thumbnail image to drop that on us.
Yeah. Thank you. Tristan throws out there, that's only one part of the city now that we were talking about before. A lot of developers are buying the houses. They're cheap to demolish and develop new areas.
Can I also say, Tristan's right, if you are still trashing Detroit, I don't think you've ever been to a major city. that's pretty rough as soon as you're away from the museum district. And I don't know.
It's, yeah, that's more conversation. I mean, we just come back to the conversation around systemic racism and how folks need to educate themselves and how those communities have been treated.
Can we just say the bottom line is we endorse visiting the city, walking the streets and having a good time.
I gotta say, Mike, I work downtown now, and despite having a health scare this past week that kept me at home all week, but the one day I did get to go into the office so far, I thought was one of the coolest days of my life. It's not up there with like the kids. Those were amazing days. Getting married is certainly top three with having two kids, but probably in the top 100 moments of my life so far was parking my car downtown and walking the streets to get to my office. And it was awesome. It was wonderful. I really do love that city. And, you know, it sucks how far away I live right now. But whenever I get a chance.
Yeah. And I mean, we have 8 Mile. If And I mean, if you like exotic dancers and White Castles, 8 Mile is for you. I love White Castle, and I love exotic dancing, and I love eating White Castles while I'm watching exotic dancing. So we got everything down here. Yeah,
I do miss when you lived really close to downtown. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I had so many sliders, I didn't know what to do with myself.
All right, so Tristan, thanks for bringing that up, because I was thinking about not doing it, but you threw it in the comments, so now we have our opinions out there. I'm sure nobody's listening to this podcast and going, you know what, fuck these two and their opinions on the city of Detroit. I mean, we're preaching to the choir right now, but yeah, we got that one out of the way. I did want to throw out there that Jared Shaw was throwing some saltiness here at Stevens. He's the new helm when it comes to injuries. Damn, Jared. Damn.
Yeah, that comparison's a little on the nose. That kind of hurts. Ouch.
All right. What do we want to do here, Mike? I set up a silly little PowerPoint slide here. Let's see if I can get this all set up. Because our first topic of the show, it's all going to kind of wrap together. But we might as well start out with updating everybody on good old rookie performances. That's right. Oh, no, the overlay's in the way. Well, leading the NHL rookies in goals is Lucas Raymond, of course. But it is fun to pull this up, because even though Trevor Zegras is doing his best, and goddamn, I hope everybody got to see that pass from him last night. Mike, did you get to see it?
I did not.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. I'm going to take a minute to throw this up. Can you read those stats? Do you want to read those off for us for Mo and Nedeljkovic?
Yeah, we could definitely kind of go through them. But, I mean, the only mystery is who's not in first place, because most of these are Lucas Raymond oriented. Definitely kind of fun is seeing that among the point leaders still. Here on December 8th, Matt, as we move, we're going to have to award another rookie of the month. And Mo Sider is right on the heels of Raymond, at 18 points so far. And, you know, Lucas coming in at 22. Obviously, Mo not with the goals quite yet. But, I mean, the way that guy is still making moves in overtime, man, did he have some incredible highlights. Not just, the game-winning goal. Is it his second already in overtime?
Yeah.
But man, just making some really brilliant defensive plays to save goals from occurring, to prevent shots from even occurring, using all that length, using all that reach. My God, just imagine when that guy finally gets, experience. Because right now he's doing all this his first year in the NHL. God bless Mo Sider, bless Yzerman for finding that guy. And then Matt, looks like he's got the assist from Zegras.
Highlight. This is probably highlight of the year already in December. Mike, I'm so happy that you get to see this right now. Like, this is your first time seeing it. So we should probably blow up. Oh, we can't blow up your reaction.
Should I move my microphone?
Yeah.
Is it going to get loud?
Give us your live reaction to this. Give us exactly how you feel. We'll have this muted. Cause it's in Buffalo anyway. So it's not like the fans got out of their seats for it, but, a few of them did, but all right, you ready?
Look at where Zegras is starting. This is my first time seeing this. Okay. I'm ready. All right. Here's a guy playing hockey. He's behind the net. What is happening? Oh my God. Wow. You can do that?
Yeah. Right.
That's a legal play.
My favorite tweet last night was I rank you should leave a Twitter account. That was Tim Robinson going, I don't think you can do that.
I felt exactly the same.
Here, let me back this up, though.
Can we see that again? That was a real reaction. Yeah.
Look at Trevor right there. He's the guy on the left. The overlay's kind of in the way, but his own jaw, he made the play. His own jaw has dropped. And he's like, Milano, did you really knock that in? Like, he can't believe it.
Can we see that one more time?
Of course. If there's a guy right now, Mike, that somebody could make the argument is going to win the Calder over our boy Lucas Raymond. Jesus Christ. Right.
Listen, I don't care if that guy gets another point the rest of the season. That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Whoop! Colorado. Like, that's an amazing idea, and the amount of creativity it took to do that. A lot of credit still has to go to Milano for knocking that in. Like, he totally could have fumbled that. Like, look at Zegras' face.
You knocked it in?
Wow. Oh my God. And I'm sorry I'm doing this to all of our Red Wings fans, but I mean, that was one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. So
if you're here, you're a hockey fan. And yeah. That was incredible. Man.
I will never. This replay is so great. All like it gets put on another level because of Zegras' face not believing his own ability.
Is it time to go?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. So, even as a Lion fan, even we managed to score a point. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score. With promo code THPN, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner in the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. But yeah, we were talking about all the rookie scoring there. You could see that he's doing his fair job of trying to catch up. He's now the leader in assists, and he's making his way up the list to catch up to our boy Lucas, who's still got the 22 points. And I have it shrunk down on my screen. Let's see if I can blow this up here so I can actually read it. Oh, they're both at 22. Jesus.
Can I ask?
Oh, good God, it's over.
Yeah, let me ask you something real quick. Because every year the NBA does that ridiculous slam dunk competition.
Yeah.
And they've run out of dunks. They've run out. You know, they've run out of so many. Now they just have guys jump over stuff.
I love where this is going.
So I guess what I want to see, Matt, I know that they kind of have, isn't there still kind of a shootout competition at All-Star Weekend?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the comments.
Isn't there still kind of a shootout competition on All-Star Weekend?
I think so. Because they did. They used to have the freestyle competition, and then they also do a shootout where it's like you're trying to score, and then they do the freestyle was how goofy can you get? That was when Ovechkin was wearing like hats, and they would do the. Do you remember the javelin throw? I can't remember who did it, but they had the puck on the end of the stick and did a javelin throw at the net and scored.
I don't know if I want that to necessarily come back. Cause I guess what I'm thinking of is, you know, it's one thing to watch like a luchador match, you know, in wrestling where, you know, you take certain liberties and we all just kind of, you know, suspend disbelief, you know, that this is actual offense from the two luchadors. You know, they're doing like cartwheels and catching each other with their thighs and, you know, spinning them around with hurricane ranas. So it goes up a level when you're watching like, you know, a Young Bucks match, which I can reference because hockey and AEW share the same channel. Do you think that we could get away with a maybe a 2-on-1 break competition?
I think so.
I only say that because that play just made my imagination explode. And I want to see what two buddies could do instead of just one.
It would be the same as in the dunk competitions when they bring somebody out, right? So they've done some of that with the freestyle where they've had somebody like throw a pass out. But yeah, There's definitely room to improve. I think the NHL All-Star Game, and I'm going to get some hate for this, but maybe not the All-Star Game, but that skills competition, man. I can't watch it. It's a slog. It's 2 hours of commercials and a little bit of competition, and it's for the boys. Like, they have a good time down there. I do not have a great time watching. So anything you can come up with to try and improve it, I'm game. But yeah, I do like a 2-on-1 competition, or I wonder, I don't know, maybe there's room to make it competitive. You get two guys you can put on the ice. You can choose a goaltender if you want. You can pick a couple forwards. You can have a forward and a defenseman, maybe. That'd be kind of neat. Try and do something like that and see, cut the ice in half. Maybe just go from side to side instead of going lengthwise.
Yeah, I don't know if we have to, make like this year is a special Squid Games version, and you got to get two buddies to get a goal before the giant robot lady turns around.
Oh, you want to kill hockey players? Yeah, you'll get people to tune in.
I mean, we need more checking. How come there aren't any enforcers anymore? No.
Maybe, maybe you just have to stand there and take a hit.
You just got to take a bump competition?
Yeah.
Put goalie pads on and get hit by this year's sponsor, Dodge Ram, I don't know. I know we're kind of riffing, but it's tough because we just came back from win streak and now we lost, and I don't want to, I want to gloss over that and kind of move on, even though I'm a little worried based on the competition coming up, Matt. It looks like this could be another losing streak as we continue our adventure into being a 500 club.
Ooh, yeah, if you want. See, this is where this new system comes into play here. That thank you, StreamYard, will now let us share Google Slides. We can take a look at who we've got coming up. We got St. Louis coming up. What's today? We're recording right now live Wednesday night. So when you're listening to the podcast, it is Thursday morning. So tonight, Red Wings and Blues. I mean, you could go up and down this list and struggle to find any spot where the Red Wings are doing better than the Blues for every facet of the game here. This is coming from Jay Fresh Hockey. We've got one. Our 5-on-5 expected goals against. We are better than St. Louis. But for every other statistic, measuring these two teams, St. Louis is the better of the two. We're talking 5-on-5 goals, expected goals, Corsi 4, power play, penalty kill, goaltending, especially finishing. Mike, we are the master of expected goals teams. We're right in the middle. Actually, we're neck and neck with St. Louis. We're 16th ranked according to Jay Fresh's numbers. St. Louis is 15th ranked for 5-on-5 expected goals for, but it's that finishing that has us sliding down the list when it comes to actual goals. So we know who the culprits are for that. We've had full episodes in regards to Sedina still not getting a shot on the first line since we've been gone, not getting a shot on the first line last night, and his expected goals numbers are still great, but the actual goals numbers aren't there. But yeah,
I know we mentioned this.
We're going to St. Louis.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
The Red Wings being above 500, are these kind of shocking numbers, or is it just that we've played enough games now we're just going to see some regression as we play some more road games?
Well, I did have some stats to take a look at that 5-game winning streak, because basically we just had the best goaltender over those 5 games and one of the best goaltending performances over a 5-game chunk, just from our team perspective, how well we did. So we actually led the league in save percentage and all that fun stuff, all the goaltending statistics. We ended up being number one. And a team like ours, especially one without Tyler Bertuzzi, is really going to struggle to go 4 lines and produce some offense. So when your team is on a 5-game winning streak, it's probably because your goaltending is playing out of its mind. And it certainly did. So if the goaltending does not play out of its mind, does not mean that they're playing bad.
Yeah.
The goaltending is not almost perfect.
it's going to be a struggle.
Matt, I have a fun number for you. You ready? So if the playoffs started today, we are the eighth seed in the East. Okay. So I'm going to give you the goal differential for the first seven seeds, and then I'm going to tell you Detroit's. Okay. Mm-hmm. Florida plus 25, Washington plus 27, Toronto plus 19, Rangers plus 15, Tampa plus 17, Carolina plus 25. Jesus Christ. Pittsburgh plus 7. Matt, where is seed number 8? That would be the Red Wings. What are we at?
Minus 7.
Oh, almost. Matt, minus 10.
Oh.
And then after us, is Columbus. Last night's game. Columbus being even, and Boston after that is plus 5.
Yeah. I mean, woo, if you look at the points percentage like we did a week ago, I mean, Boston jumps leapfrogs over us in standings and a couple other teams too. So it does still look like one of those things. It does suck we missed a 5-game winning streak, but after losing last night and taking a look at what's coming up and still looking at the deep cut analytics, Mike, as you like to say, doesn't look
gonna
great.
It's going to get a little hairy. It's going to get a little hairy.
Yeah. All right, we gotta jump into the comments here for a second. Crimson Shadow 94, his buddy's a Blues fan, so do one of us want to pick a win for Crimson Shadow, Mike? By the way, love this picture. He's got Sonic the Hedgehog going along with the Devil.
That's some outstanding Photoshop. I love it. Crimson, I would love to see a win, but I feel like the Blues are going to be out for blood. After the Red Wings beat them last time. So I would anticipate a 5-2 spanking for the St. Louis Blues, man.
Yeah, and I still say, like, it's just tough to keep up when you've got basically 9 forwards that, if you want to say the combination of them, because I know we like Zadina, but when he's playing with who he's playing with, the pucks don't go in the back of the net. So you're talking about 75% of the time you're rolling out a forward line that shouldn't really be expected to score at an NHL pace, like an average NHL pace, right? So how do you find a win? So we're basically saying, yes, we can win if we can stop the St. Louis Blues from scoring, which I think is possible as long as we stay out of the penalty box. So you can see, you know, the Blues right there, number 2 in power play goals across the league, according to Jay Fresh here. So that's your main goal. You stay out of the penalty box. We're neck and neck, at least for putting goals in the back of the net. And what did we talk about? We're better than them at limiting 5-on-5 chances. So there's your win. That's how you find it. Stay out of the penalty box and just try and eke one out, you know, keep it close. Win by a goal, either in overtime or get one near the end of the game. Just keep it close in the third period. You can beat the St. Louis Blues. It would just be silly for us to look at this team and say, clearly, we're going to beat the St. Louis Blues. There is a victory to be found in these numbers here, but it's very tough to come by.
I think the Red Wings have definitely been opportunistic. They've definitely kind of really embraced and felt the energy from playing at home, right? I think we talked about the splits our last live episode, that home record being 9-3-2. That's really good. And then on the road, not so much. 4-7-1. Yeah. And we are going to be playing St. Louis on the road. And they're not going to be exhausted like last time we played them. So it doesn't bode well. And I don't think I would put I wouldn't put a penny on the Red Wings winning that game. It's a tough matchup, and I think that St. Louis probably has this one circled.
Now, performance art is going loss in St. Louis, and then the very next night, Mike, we got back-to-backs before, and then we'll have a little break. Actually, no games till Tuesday. But Thursday and Friday, back-to-back, we go into Colorado. Performance art's picking a win, Mike. I got to say, I'm still looking at we took a look at St. Louis a second ago. You look at Colorado and their offense. We already knew that it was high powered, but taking a look at the statistics, I mean, clearly this is a team that has the ability to score in bunches. I mean, the finishing, they're 3rd in the league, power play 10th in the league. You know, the Red Wings are bottom half of the league and everything, if not bottom third for all these statistics. So when we're just bringing up mostly our opponent's numbers, that's, there you go, folks. That's Red Wings are bottom half or bottom third of the league for everything. But Colorado doing well on the offensive side. It's goaltending and what they're giving up from a 5-on-5 perspective that's hurting them. And their penalty kill, just as stanky as ours. So they can outscore you, Mike. But that's the game, right? Is Colorado going to be able to look at this and know that even if the Red Wings start putting in goals, that they'll be able to outscore them probably still by a couple? But or is this just that opportunity for Colorado's goaltending to kind of get their feet underneath them? And I sound super negative right now, but we're still talking about a team that is injury depleted. And when we were a full roster, we were predicting a bottom 10 finish. So
yeah, I don't, because I think you just want to be careful. Like, we're not trying to be, I don't think we're trying to overtly be negative. It's just
right.
Basically, the Red Wings have kind of given us, you know, what they're going to do over the course of the season. They're a streaky team. And those streaks are dependent on where they are playing geographically.
And the goaltending.
So they're going to be goaltending for sure. But yeah, we're going to be on the road, Colorado. Woo! At home, they're 7-2-1. Pretty outstanding record there. And again, we know how tough it is for this Red Wing team to score outside of the first line. And Colorado, plus 16. You know, they've played 22 games and, woo, they're already lighting up that stat sheet. So it's a tough matchup for us, because it looks like one where you'd have to, you know, probably score 4 or 5 goals to win. And it's tough for us to do, especially on the road.
Yeah, and I'd say, like, when you look at that, you know, we were just taking a look at St. Louis's statistics and comparing them to the Red Wings. And like I said, there's a win to be found there, no doubt. I think any game, every given night, the Red Wings are going to have an opportunity if they continue to play that scrappy style. But I just struggle to look at these games and see that there's a lot of potential for offense coming at us, and not so much that we're going to be able to put on the board. And it just kind of looks like, you know, we are going to be playing that game of hoping that Ned can keep Colorado off the scoreboard. And
yeah, I mean, if we take these games, if we sweep St. Louis and Colorado on the road, I think at that point that would be, something to make me think, oh, maybe Lucas Raymond won't win the Calder because it's going to go to Nedeljkovic, because, oh my God, he is Dominic Hasek all of a sudden.
Well, I want to jump on a couple of points here.
Oh yeah, the comments coming in.
Yeah. Bad touch throughout there. He thinks Zadina needs confidence from his coach. And Crimson Shadow throughout there, if you put Zadina on the first line, does he improve or stay the same? I think both of those ideas actually work together. I think you put him on the first line to show him that you do believe in him. And I do think you'd see his numbers improve, or at least let's give it a shot at some point and see if it does actually make a difference. Because we've been talking about it all season, that Zadina's deep cut analytics tell a story of a guy who he's either making plays or making room for himself to get good shots on net. And it's just one of those things, like, for whatever reason, Zadina's the only guy who I think
he's so
is playing consistently good this season. Yeah. Again, from an effort standpoint, not from an actual production standpoint.
Right. He's good chances. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He's putting up the chances, and he's not getting that shot to play with Larkin and Raymond. And I would give him that shot, no problem. I wish I knew what was going on in behind closed doors, what the coaches are talking about, if Steve Yzerman gets a chance to talk with Blashill. I know Steve said in the past that when it comes to filling out this roster, when it comes to a lineup, he doesn't touch it. It's what Jeff wants because he's the coach. But there's kind of something,
out,
right?
Can I throw out one devil's advocate theory here?
Yeah.
Do you think it's maybe that I know that Zadina doesn't have, you know, the goals that we would like. And we've read so many interviews of, you know, Blashill saying, you know, I don't care if he scores. I want him to make smart hockey plays. And I know he makes smart hockey plays. So I'm okay with what he's doing out there. He puts all that extra pressure on himself to score goals. And I think that kind of partially slows him down because he's so focused on that. But I'm happy if he's making good defensive plays. You know, he's getting rushes going. He's on the forecheck. He, you know, I think he's doing fine. I think all the extra pressure he puts on himself is what's holding him back. So I'm wondering if...
Do you relieve that pressure?
Yeah. No, I'm wondering if, like, if you move Zadina up on a Bertuzzi out night, do you think that Blashill's just that concerned that his second line is just going to be a total black hole? Like, do you think he kind of sees so much value in Zadina that he's okay with him not scoring, but he makes it so the second line is formidable?
Yeah, and from, like, a two-way perspective, you're absolutely right. Like, he is limiting chances. He's one of the best on the team when it comes to looking at what he does when he's on the ice. You know, who he's playing with obviously plays into that. But Zadina on a second line limits chances of what the other team can put on net. There's only been a few games this year where you've been able to look at Zadina's numbers and say, you know, oh, he actually hurt the team in this game. He didn't play a good one. And to say that it's only been a few games and we're, what, 25, 26 games through the season so far, you might be onto something. We can't afford to put everybody on the first line. If we're saying our three best forwards, when Bertuzzi's out, when Verana's out, are Zadina, Raymond, and Larkin, how could we possibly afford to break up that second line and just hope that the likes of, you know, Fabry and Suter and, I mean, think about, we've said, Mike, for a very long time, and the statistics follow along with this story, Fabry has been a problem defensively. Since he's become a Red Wing, certainly he puts the chances on net, but defensively he's a liability. So, Is that just trying to plug up a hole by having him play with? And clearly that would be, that's almost irresponsible to say, well, you're going to have Fabry on the first line because he's a defensive liability and you can't have him ruin the second line, right? Like there's got to be more variables attached to it to put all of those, put all those variables together to come to the conclusion that Zadina has to hold down the second line. But I have to, like, it's got to be something like that because we're seeing too much offensively without the actual numbers clicking for us to not at least just give it a shot, right? It's not like we could look at Puce and be like, well, that's the guy that should be playing with Zadina. And as they try and fill out the second line and Joe Valeno getting a shot, you know, and he's had his injury problem, so I'm not taking a dump on Valeno, but that's not the guy you look at. Zadina, who puts in the efforts night in and night out to make real scoring chances, you're not going to look at Joe Valeno and go, well, that's the guy who's going to finish. I think Joe Valeno is going to end up being in the same boat at some point where we're just going to be asking for the people around him to get better. And you're not going to find success having two guys in the same line who need better players around them for their production to kick up. it's not going to work that way. And confidence is part of it. And they're still learning. I mean, they're all super young still. So it's something to the effect of, Dylan Larkin's would do wonders, I think, for Zadina, for Zadina's center to be Dylan Larkin for a couple of games. I just want to see what it looks like. And if it doesn't work, we go back, we continue to be a non Stanley Cup contending team. And we're one game closer to the draft. I mean, I'm joking aside, like I say it's time to give it a shot. And I've been somebody, and by the way, if you're watching on YouTube right now, these statistics that are up are our stats through our 5-game winning streak. But I've been somebody that has fought for Jeff Blashill since the show started. And most of the argument has been, this team isn't good enough to win. So don't complain that changes need to be made so that they can win. Right. I mean, we just went through a 5-game winning streak. I didn't see on Twitter everybody going, whoa, look at what Jeff Blasio was able to do for this team to find, to take this, you know, bunch of
ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, ne'er-do-wells, this riffraff, the
ragtag bunch. Misfits.
I'm in the Rudolph mode. I was trying to specifically think of misfits. Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty selective memory. He gets right. All the blame for the losses, not a lot of credit for the wins.
But to my point, I don't give two Fs about wins. But what I do care about is trying to see if Sedina really is the real deal. So put him on the first line and we can start to get some questions answered for the future. Because I will sacrifice wins all day long to just see if that's going to work out eventually. They tried it on the power play. Zadina's numbers absolutely cratered on the power play when he was playing with Larkin and Raymond. And you're saying to yourself, well, he's got an extra guy. Should have been just goals all around. But I think that that just goes to, you know, maybe more consistency with getting those opportunities with Larkin and Raymond. And you know, right now, you just lost. So you weren't going to make the change during a 5-game winning streak, but now you lost. Sedina still played well. His numbers still look good. So do it, Jeff. Stop screwing up. You got one job to play 82 games. That's Jeff's only job is to get through 82 games. And there's got to be more fun ways to get through 82 games than to not put Sedina on the first line.
There's, I guess if we were in the, you know, one of the press conferences, I think that would be what, that would be our main question. Why do we not get to see Zadina on the first line, you know, in 5-on-5 play? I think I would like to be there for the practices to see what is Fabry doing that gets Blashill so enamored? He gets to play next to Lucas Raymond and Dylan Larkin. I'd be fascinated to see what he's doing in those practices to make that happen.
I saw him take a shot earlier today in practice. If I could, I would. I would pull it up, have it queued up. He ripped one so hard, he actually drilled himself into the ice and like spun in a circle. And it just looked absolutely ridiculous. Then he's he's doing the old get up like a caveman, like how hockey players do. And he's laughing. Just like, good gravy.
Can I ask you one scary question? And ooh. I would definitely want the people to weigh in.
This one's Halloween themed.
So this is our scenario when we do another, you know, maybe swing through Canada or, you know, Bertuzzi is out for a couple more games. Our dreams come true. Matt Sedina is on the first line. Who is on the second line? Without question, it's gotta be Puse. But who is... Who's going to play on the wing? And if you give me Fabry, who's going to offset that lack of defense, man? I know I'm kind of ambushing you here at this question, but I think I'm asking it because I'm defending Blashill, and that I do think it's that he trusts Sedina so much that he's like, well, at least I have my second line covered if I have Sedina out there. So I like the first line idea, right, to see if we can actually get him some points. But
yeah.
I think he just has so much faith in him to like play that two-way game strongly and almost carry that second line, like with being like responsible for both sides of the ice. If you move him up, Matt, who do you dare put on that second line? Who's going to be almost, you know, in second place for ice time for the forwards?
I think Namestnikov is the right name to slot in there. If you're looking for somebody that's going to be a little bit more responsible. If you're saying somebody needs to clean up the messes that Robbie Fabry is going to make, then you put in Namestnikov. I'm going up and down the roster. I think Performance Art said Ernie. Jared's right there, Namestnikov or Ernie. I think both of those are good picks. But I mean, you're not making that choice and you're like, all right, now we're good. Now we got a solid, sick top six. Like, you're making that choice to like Whew. All right. How many sandbags do we need to make sure this wall doesn't break? Like, and that's where Ernie comes into play, right? You get another sandbag. Like, that is a big boy.
Jared
out there, a reminder of that huge hit he threw. That was, I did have plans, Mike. I wanted to do all the highlights we missed, and I was going to have you pick which was your favorite. That just missed the cut, only because I don't have enough room.
I like that Mo Sider sizzle reel in overtime.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Yeah, just watching the overtime goal. Yeah, we can do that. Well, is that more of a fun way to end the show after all this negativity?
I'm going to call that a Tristan replay because it was a long replay and it was defense and offense that led to a win. I'm just shouting them out.
All right. Do you want to play that? Do we have time to play that game?
Should we run through? Oh, yeah, we do.
All right. So we'll start with the – oh, boy, this is going to be so much fun for who's ever listened to the podcast because we're also not going to play audio.
Sick.
All right. Well, here's our start.
I'll try to react like that Zegras goal. All right, here we go. There's that UWM ice.
Yeah, sorry.
Back to the line of Pugh Suter.
I gotta mute that. But yeah, here's our overtime goal. Oh my god, are you kidding me? Oh, I'm sorry, I screwed up.
Oh man,
you got a glimpse of the overtime goal. Let's see if I can find it. This is good podcast.
Hey, Chris Jericho really would have called out the monkeys in the back, screwing up the video package. There's a reference appealing for two people.
All right. There it is. Did you see it? Did you blink?
I blinked.
Right. I don't know if you're going to still pick.
Is that a GIF? What is this? No. Is this a GIF? This is
technically a highlight reel from the Islanders game. So you've got the Mo Sider goal. All right. Let's just cross this one off the list.
All right. For the quality of the video, I'm giving it an F.
You mean the quality of me queuing up a replay? It gets an F?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a Mike Lawrence joke. He was on YouTube, and he was looking at Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, and it had like 100 downvotes, but the downvotes weren't for what you'd think they were. They were about the sound and video quality. And some comments said, I have a dream that we'd have better visual and audio quality back in 1966 or 1968.
Oh, Jesus.
So
people, they're the best. Well, that makes me I don't know how that makes me feel about this. This is our Lucas Raymond goal. I don't want to lead you on in any direction on what was your favorite highlight, but this might be my pick. Whipping it against Seattle. I should probably give more detail for the podcast listeners.
Yeah, he's between the circles, a violent rip from Lucas Raymond, and then a Viking-like war cry of joy to celebrate there. That's a pretty strong highlight, man. I like that contender. It's a lot better than the F that we started the show with. All right, here we go. Matt's got it queued up. Playing Boston.
Mark Stahl with the game winner. A 2-1 win over Boston?
Yeah, it was an opportunistic Mark Stahl. Just look what I found, one of those goals.
High skill goal from Mark Stahl against Boston. eventually, it'll come around and you'll get to see it again. There he goes. Boop! Maybe some goaltender interference from Rasmussen there. Got away with
That's what it takes sometimes. Yeah. Good on him.
Now, this was brought up earlier today. It was a Zadina goal. So we've got one also against Boston. So let me cue that.
There's a shooting star. You saw a Zadina goal? Wow.
While we were gone. That's right.
A unicorn riding a shooting star. Look at one of these rare moments in NHL history. My God, that's Zadina right there.
And there's a shout out to Jared Shaw, who mentioned the backhand goals that Zadina's 2-for-2 so far this season. You might want to keep that one going. Season continues to roll along for him.
He should exclusively shoot backhand.
Way to go. Yeah.
He should all do right. like one-timers backhand.
Here's another good one. This is why like ESPN focuses so much on our boy here, Lucas Raymond. It's just
I'm buckled in. I'm very excited.
Sexy.
To see
they're fun to watch.
All right. So here comes the highlight.
Against Buffalo here in overtime. Here comes Lucky Luke.
Crossing the blue line between the circles. Sizzles one in there. Woo! That was another good one. Matt, are those all the highlights?
Do I have one more? Should I stop it? Should we stop doing highlights? Is that better? Yeah, that's it. Those are all the highlights I got. The other one I have is, do you want to watch Trevor Zegras again?
That was highlight of my life, let alone highlight of the NHL. I got to say the winner of that bunch is easily the first goal that we saw from Lucas Raymond, because in addition to scoring, I like that he doesn't go low key about it. He's very excited to be scoring goals. And I think his reactions are the type of thing we need to start selling this league and making people watch it besides us hockey hardcores and diehards. We need people like Lucas Raymond to lift the NHL and put it on his shoulders and get people watching.
I do like the overtime celebration, though, where he's just kind of like, yeah.
I do that sometimes.
So, all right, Mike, it's good to be back. Jared Shaw has a request that we go back to the Zegras replay. Oh boy.
Oh, you want to see it again?
It's gone. I'm sorry. It's gone. Go to Twitter, search Zegras.
We didn't start the show with that puppy.
Yes. You know what you guys can do? Just keep rewatching the show. Get us views. We'll greatly appreciate it. Actually, if you could, anybody watching right now, if you had some fun, I don't know, figuring out what we missed while we were gone for a week and a half there. Give us an old like, share us with your buddies. If you're listening to the podcast right now, that subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts does us the most good. While we were gone, Mike, we had some incredible numbers for some of our prospect stuff, and really appreciate everybody who subscribed over the last week and a half. It's funny we got more viewers those episodes while we were gone than our live stuff, but we love you guys. Thanks for coming back after we took our little break there. Performance art, I missed you. Find us on Twitter. We're back watching games. We'll be live Thursday and Friday night, and then we'll probably throw an episode together, I don't know, Saturday or Sunday, but we'll try and keep you guys posted so you don't miss it. Yeah, don't forget, go to our Mitchell Stevens episode. Let me know who you want us to do next, because if we pick your guy, as we did for Tristan, you're going to get a $25 gift card. And like I mentioned in the video, if you go back and watch it, maybe that number will go up if you help us grow the show. More people means more money. That's right.
Grow the show, Bo Dofa, yo.
And while we're broke, we're still giving away $25 gift cards. Yeah, we're trying to do one once a month. All right, I've been rambling for a while. Mike, this has been one of our longest episodes the last couple of months. We're back to an hour. All right. Thanks for
tuning in. We're going for two. Two more hours.
Tristan's wishing me luck with the new job. It's been tough trying to keep up with the live games, but I do it for you guys.
And luckily, myself. The kids go to sleep right before hockey starts. Thanks, kids.
Sometimes. So I'm going to miss Teddy a lot boy. Of first periods.
Damn it.
I know. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.
Bid you adieu.